1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
After the recent death of George Floyd, who was killed after an officer placed his knee on him and held him down to the point where he was not able to breathe, we have seen huge protests. And not only protests, because some of them are protests, but we have also seen actually rioting. And by the way, rioting is not protest. Rioting is, as President Trump put it, being thugs. Thugs out there damaging businesses, burning businesses down, looting, stealing. That is not protest. That is being a thug. That is being a criminal. And we know that there are even some outside agitators with Antifa, and even there's even been reports of pallets and truckloads of bricks being discovered in major cities, just sitting there, and also Molotov cocktails prepared for people to use, and even outside protesters breaking, outside agitators breaking windows and trying to encourage rioting. We're going to discuss what is happening in our country. And really, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to actually look to move beyond racism to establish liberty and justice for all. And certainly we can't solve all the world's racial problems here in just a few minutes, but we're going to start talking about this. One of the passages that we're going to use as we talk about this is John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're going to share some truth today, some truth that perhaps you're not hearing from some other sources. In fact, many of the people speaking out on this issue are not sharing some of the truth. They're only sharing part of the story. Now, you may look at me and say, well, you're not black. How in the world can you speak on this subject? Well, of course, if you have looked at me, you do know that I'm not black. There's another thing that I'm also not. I'm also not a racist. I remember growing up as a young boy, my dad was a school teacher at a small private school in our city. He also had a passion to do more, though, and he asked and was given the ability to actually use one of the school buses to bus in kids to church. I remember going with him on Saturdays to visit kids and to encourage them to be ready the next morning, maybe to remind them, hey, tomorrow's Sunday, be ready because I'm going to come by with the bus ready to pick you up. Those kids sometimes were inner city kids. Sometimes some of them were white, some of them were black. Some of them, we would go out to migrant camps almost in Okeechobee, and actually meet with the kids, the Hispanic kids that were out there. I remember going with him and watching him lean down and kneel down to a black kid that is dirty, had snot running down his face from his nose, and just giving the kid a big hug and telling him that he loved him, that he was coming there tomorrow to pick him up for church. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but I remember hearing my parents say that as my dad started bringing these kids to church, some of who were black, some of who were Hispanic, some of the people in church didn't like it. Some of the people said, well, this is why we moved our church from where it was to where it is now, so that we could get away from these kind of people. Well, God created everyone, and we're going to see that today. He created everyone, and he loves everyone, and he calls all men to repent of their sins. You know, growing up, I went through sixth grade. I did go to that small private school where really, for the most part, the people that were there were white. But when I was in middle school, I started going to public school. I remember getting off the bus, and some of the black kids would call out to the kids that were getting off the bus, calling us crackers. I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't really think that they were calling me a cracker. They thought they were calling the rednecks that were on that bus stop, who were tough guys who probably deserved to be called a cracker. But it probably wasn't until later, and I'll tell that story in just a minute, that I actually first experienced racism from the other side, because there are racists on both sides of the equation, and even the racism does affect people even more than what we are told in some cases. When I was a teenager at our church, we had a ministry called the Bread Ministry, where we went out largely to the projects, to the Avenue D area, to the other avenues near Avenue D, and we went to public living facilities and public housing, places where people were poor. A lot of them were black. We handed out loaves of bread and told people about the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and called people to repent. We even had church services sometimes on a Friday evening or a Saturday night out on Avenue D. And I was a part of that. I also worked with and participated with Kenny and Donna Mills in their Save Our Children ministry. And then as a young adult, in my early 20s, many of you know that I actually have been arrested. That's right. I'm a former jailbird. However, I was never arrested really for doing anything wrong. I was arrested for peacefully protecting preborn children. And when I say peacefully protecting preborn children, I was working to protect every innocent human life. By the way, I spent about a total, not all at once, but a total of about 3 years in jail for protecting preborn children. Now, many of those, not all of them, but I didn't care what race those children were. But there's a large percentage, in fact, a disproportionately large percentage of the babies that are killed by abortion are of black descent. And so I've spent time in jail, actually, for protecting innocent human beings, some of which were black, some of which were Hispanic. I've also witnessed racism, and in some cases, even seen the police pay more attention to me as someone who was protecting innocent human life than they were paying attention to a black man who was perhaps had a warrant for his arrest, or was a little bit concerned when he passed the police officer. Before I became a missionary to the preborn, we went up to Washington, D.C., my dad and I, and Kenny and Donna Mills, And I think there were a few other people that went with us, and we went there to Washington for Jesus. And we stood there and worshiped God and prayed on behalf of this nation. By the way, we saw DC Talk before, I think before they were even, maybe even called DC Talk. It was really kind of hilarious, looking back at it and looking back and seeing it. Even if you listen to their first album, just the amount of really simplicity that was in the music that they were actually performing at that point. But on the way back, there was a man that I don't know if he had kind of dozed off or fallen asleep. Maybe he had his cruise control on, but we were driving a van that actually I believe was owned by Kenny Mills, Kenny and Donna Mills, and we actually were hit in the back by a man, and we pulled over. It was obviously not our fault that we were hit. My dad was driving. And the police officer came out. This was in South Carolina. The police officer came out. He took down the report. A few weeks later, my dad received a ticket in the mail. He was ticketed for the accident. Apparently, the officer was racist. The guy that hit us was white. And we were with some people that were black. And a black couple owned the vehicle. We also have seen, I know Kenny Mills told us that my dad, one of the things that he really worked for, he was at one point the head of the Ministerial Association in St. Lucie County. But you know what? There was actually a black ministerial association and a white ministerial association. My dad actually worked to drive apart barriers. He wanted for Baptists to get together, for Methodists to get together, for charismatic Pentecostals to get together, for people of all different denominations to get together and worship God. He also wanted for all races to get together. And he reached out and invited black ministers to join in. And Kenny Mills did join in. And you know what the other black ministers told him and asked him? Why are you going and being with those white guys? You need to stay with us. You see, there's racism, and it affects quite a bit in America. It affects quite a bit of people, and there are people that are set in their ways, and they haven't repented. I was in another pastor's meeting with white and black ministers. Some of those ministers, it was their first time ever being in a meeting with someone from their other race. And one elderly black gentleman minister stood up, and he had tears in his eyes. And he just said, I have to just apologize. This is the first time in my entire life that I have ever witnessed a white person that loved me. And I thought all white people were evil. You see, this is something that there are people that have grown up. We all have certain experiences that we've been through. We've all been told certain things. We've all have been given a certain background. You know, when I was in Milwaukee, there was a time where I got out of jail late at night. It wasn't a scheduled release, I don't think. No one knew that I was getting out. I got out of jail, and we used to ride the bus. So it was late at night. I rode the bus going one way, and then you have to get off of that bus and wait for the next bus. Well, I didn't realize it. I didn't know what time the bus stopped running. The bus at the next place had stopped running. And I was standing there, and of course, I was the only white guy in the neighborhood. And I asked this one guy when the next bus would come. And he said something, may have told me or whatever. And I replied back to him, God bless you. Jesus is up or something like that. I used to always witness to people, and I still try to do that. But he started walking away, and then he realized, wait a minute, this guy is in an area. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that the buses have stopped running. And this is a sissy. He loves Jesus. He came back to me and he acted like he had a gun under his shirt and he mugged me. Well, you know what? That experience is something that I'm going to remember. It's going to affect me. And if someone is black and they've experienced racism from a white person, they're going to remember that as well. We need to realize, though, that not everyone is racist. Not everyone is like that. I mentioned earlier that I've actually experienced sometimes harassment from the police when black people have not. And I was actually at an abortion mill in Atlanta, and I kind of got a chuckle out of it. I was sitting there at this abortion clinic. They're ready to minister to the women going in, ready to call, minister, and really plead on behalf of the preborn children. And a black man walked by. Of course, the police were there. A black man walked by, and he had a newspaper. And he kind of put the newspaper up like this so that the police officer couldn't see who he was. Because if the police officer saw who he was, maybe the police officer is going to stop him or harass him, or maybe he has a warrant out for his arrest. And it was interesting. The police were more concerned about someone that was trying to protect innocent human life than they were about this black man. There were a few times where I was arrested. Most of the time we were arrested for trespassing because we were on the property of the abortion mill, either blocking the door of the abortion mill or actually going inside the lobby and pleading on behalf of the preborn children to the women that are waiting to go in and blocking the interior door to the hallway. Most of the time we were arrested for trespassing. Twice I was arrested for twice I was arrested for while praying on the sidewalk. I was arrested for disorderly conduct. I was actually arrested, taken to jail. In jail, I was thrown into solitary confinement, and we were all thrown into solitary confinement for having a Bible study. So I've experienced injustice, not to the point that George Floyd has. I never resisted unto death. There was twice where I was arrested for not only trespassing, but also simple battery. I wasn't ever violent. I never was violent to anyone. One time, one of the women who was actually, we called them death escorts. They were called known to the from the abortion clinic as escorts. They were there to escort the women in and try to get them past us so that the women could actually go in and not receive any literature from pro-lifers. But this one lady, she got frustrated and mad at me, and she took the string out of her collar, made a noose out of it, put it around my head, and started choking me. And the police arrested me for not only trespassing, but also for simple battery. Another time, one of the employees of the abortion clinic elbowed me in the stomach. And I was arrested not only for trespassing, but for simple battery. Those two times were in Atlanta. Another time when I was in Milwaukee, we were actually linking arms with each other. The pro-lifers were linking arms with each other. And right behind us was the pro-abortion people, the death escorts. And right behind my arm, my right arm, happened to be the sister of the attorney general for Milwaukee, or for the entire state of Wisconsin. And I guess it was too big of a temptation to see my arm there right in front of her mouth, because she actually bit my arm. And I had visible teeth marks. The police officers that were there did not arrest her for simple battery. We actually presented that to the DA, and the DA said, well, she was probably doing that in self-defense. She thought you were going to hit her mouth. There was another time when I was in Atlanta that I approached a couple that were coming into an abortion clinic. The man was huge. He was black. He was huge. I'm 6'3". He towered over me. And you know, I'm skinny now. I was skinnier back then. He weighed probably two or three times what I weighed. And he got mad at me. And he punched me right in the temple, knocked me on the ground. I had a headache for hours from that. That day, I was arrested for trespassing. The only reason I was not arrested for simple battery was because they couldn't find the man to see if he wanted to press charges against me. So injustice does happen even to people that are not black. And I have experienced this in my own life. But we need to look. The truth will set you free. So we're going to look at the foundation of racial equality. You see, there are people, and by the way, it's not just blacks against whites or whites against Hispanics. You know, when I was in jail in Milwaukee, it was interesting. There was a period of time where there was the Mexicans were mad against another group of Central American Hispanics, and they were almost ready to come to a fight. And so there's racism even between different types of Hispanics. We need to realize, though, that there's a foundation for racial equality, and it's the same foundation that we use to show that every innocent human being should be protected. The life of every innocent human being should be protected. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So here we see that God is the creator of every human being. And we're all created in his image. It doesn't matter whether your skin is light, whether your skin is dark, whether your skin is somewhere in between. God created you in his image. It is because we are his image bearer that we actually need to be, that we deserve life, that we deserve liberty. It is because we are created by God that we should be protected. That someone who has darker skin than me should receive the same protection that others that I would have, and that others would have. We also, you know, there's a lot of people that look at and they actually go to ancestry.com to see what their ancestry was, what percentage of this race they have, what percentage of that race they have, what percentage of this nationality they have. There are also people that trace their genealogies, and they build a family tree. My dad even has a family tree, an old family tree that traces his family back quite a ways. And you can actually look and you can see, well, this person was my father or maybe my grandfather or great-grandfather, and then their father was this person and their father was this person. You can go on and on and on and on. Well, if we were to trace our family tree, and if it were possible to go all the way back to the founding of the world, every single one of us could trace our family tree back to Adam and Eve. Also, every single one of us could trace our family back to Noah and his family as well. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 21 through 24, we read, "And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beast, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry ground died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So here we see that we could also all trace our genealogy back to Noah. So back to Noah, we all came from Noah and his children, one of his children, and we all came from Adam and Eve. And because God created us in his image, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're brown, whether you're yellow, your life has value. And we need to look at each and every person and love them and care for them and work to establish liberty and justice for all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the and more.